Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to discuss the procedure that happened, Rechman Tzlan, of somebody who was Mechuyu Skila. It says the Mishnah, Hayu Rochik Mebeis Skila Arba Amis. When they were four Amis away from the Beis Skila, Mashitin Oises Begodav, they would remove his clothing. As the Mefarshim explained, we're going to learn in the Gemara that certainly a man was stoned without wearing any clothing. And in order that there should be no error made, that people should think that he was wearing clothing b'shas while he was getting stoned, they were careful to stone him when he was four amis away from the Beis Haskila, so everybody should recognize that he would not be stoned with any clothing. Mashit Naisus Begodav, they took off his clothing. Ha'ish, a man that's stoned without any clothing, Mechasen Oysem Lefonav, they would cover the Makam Ha'erva with a piece of cloth in the front of his body. Milfa'isha Mufanel Machre the Rebbe Yehuda. And a woman would have a piece of clothing on the front and the back of her body at the Makam Ha'erva. That is the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. However, the chumma of the opinion, it's only a man who is buried without wearing any clothing. But a woman is not buried without wearing any clothing. A woman is buried wearing clothing. Although the Rambam says that even though a woman is buried wearing clothing, it only means that we still put on her a very thin beged, a very thin garment, so that she should, as we will learn in the Gemara, not really feel the pain of death, so we make it as thin as possible. Tan Rabbanan begins the Braisa. Ish mechasen oisei perikech mufonav. A man, when he is stoned, puts on a piece of cloth in the front of his makam erva, v'isha, and a woman, shnei prakim. There were two pieces of clothing, bein milfana bein lachra, both in the front of her body and the back of her body, neshekula erva, because that entire area is considered a makam erva, and we want it to be covered by the woman. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The chumim, whereas the opinion of the chumim is ish niskal orim, a man is buried without wearing any clothing, is stoned without wearing any clothing. Vein ish niskal saruma, but not a woman. Ask the Gemara, my tamay drabonin, what is the basis of the opinion of the rabbonin that differentiate between men and women? Amakra, because the pasuk says v'rog my oisoi. The Torah says v'rog my oisoi, my oisoi. What does that pasuk mean? Elema, if you want to say that the pasuk is coming to teach us, oisoi v'loi oisa, that only a man can be a candidate for skila, not a woman, says the Gemara, that's an untenable position. Because v'ksiv, the pasuk says, v'tseisa isha huasa isha hi, that both a man or a woman could be subject to skila. Elamai oisoi, what does oisoi come to teach us? Oisoi v'loi ksusoi, a man is buried is stoned without wearing any clothing. Ha'oisa b'ksusa, a woman is stoned while wearing clothing. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, oisa b'loi ksusai, a man is buried without any clothing, and therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, loishna ish v'loishna isha, we don't differentiate between men or women. And there are basically two approaches in the Rishonim on how to understand this Gemara. The approach of Rashi and the Tosfos HaRosh is that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is how to understand the wording of the pasuk. Where according to Rabbanan, the pasuk is coming to teach us two halachas. Number one, that a man is buried without wearing any clothing, and a woman is stoned without wearing clothing, without wearing any clothing, whereas a woman is stoned wearing clothing. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you can't have the pasuk teaching us two halachas. And once the pasuk teaches us that a man is stoned without wearing any clothing, the pasuk is no longer available to teach us that the woman is buried, is stoned without any clothing. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that the pasuk teaches us that both a man and a woman are treated the same way, and they're both buried, they're both stoned without wearing any clothing. That's the way Rashi and the Tosfos HaRosh explain the Gemara. Whereas Tosfos explains as follows, that everybody, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, are of the opinion that we cannot use the pasuk to teach us what is the halacha regarding a woman, because the pasuk is needed to teach us that a man is stoned without wearing any clothing. And once the pasuk is not available to teach us what the din is by a woman, we leave it up to Svara. We leave it up to the Rabbanan, up to Chazal, to decide what is the proper way of stoning a woman. And the machlokes now between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is simply based on Svara. Where Rabbanan, at least at this point of the Gemara, feel that because we have to be concerned of the issue of hirur, of seeing a woman without any clothing, therefore they feel that a woman should be stoned wearing clothing. And the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that we should treat men and women in the stoning the same way. And just like men are stoned without wearing any clothing, says Rabbi Yehuda, so too is the din by women that they're stoned without wearing any clothing. Ask the Gemara, and specifically we follow the opinion of Tosfos. The kash of the Gemara is very understandable, because according to Tosfos, we just said the opinion of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is strictly based on Svara, on logic, how they explain their understanding of what's more appropriate. And now the Gemara says that their opinions are not consistent with what they've learned, with the way we've learned to other places. And therefore ask the Gemara, Lememra, it's obvious that according to this understanding, the Rabbanan are the ones that are chayish l'rehura, are concerned about a hearer, about people seeing that the woman without clothing. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand is loy chayish l'rehura, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with the women being unclothed. Ask the Gemara, Ipcha Shemana l'hu, haven't we learned their opinions are just the opposite? Because says the Gemara, the Tanan, Hakoyin oichiz b'bagadeo, this is talking about the parish of a Saita, a woman who's been accused by a husband of having had an adulterous relationship, and under certain circumstances she brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And we learned the parish of Saita, and parish of Nasa in Chumash, and the Masechta Saita, where an entire procedure goes on to determine if she is innocent or not, ultimately with leading to a piece of parchment with the parish of the Saita written on it that was erased in the Mayim HaMa'orim. And the Mishnah teaches us that part of the procedure of the Saita was HaKoyin Oiches B'Begadel, the Koyin takes hold of her garments, Im Nikru Nikru, if they get torn, they get torn, Im Nifru Nifru, if they get tatted, so be it, At Shemgalas Liba, until her bosom is uncovered, V'Soyser Sa'ora, and he uncovers her hair. Im Rabbi Yehuda, however, says Im HaYaliba No, if she was a nice looking woman, Loi HaYimagaleya, they did not uncover her body. And if she had nice hair, they didn't undo her hair. So here we see that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about hearer, and therefore we avoid going through this procedure. And Rabbanan are not concerned for hearer. Amar Rava, explains Rava, Hasam Hanatama, there is a specific concern, because there's always the possibility that this woman is innocent. And then after she goes out from Beis Din, innocent, Shem Etetzim Beis Din Zakor, maybe she'll leave Beis Din as an innocent woman, V'yizgraba Pirchei Kohuna, and the Kohanim who saw her undressed will pursue her. Hacha, however, here, says Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have that concern, because her miktala, she's getting killed, we don't have to worry that anybody will pursue her. She unfortunately will not be alive. Why are the Rabbanan not concerned about the Pirchei Kohuna? Explains the Meiri, that since everybody is agreement that they take off from her her jewelry and a nice clothing, and she's standing there in a time of worry and nivel, therefore it says the Rabbanan, a woman in such a state can never be concerned that people will be misgar with her, people will pursue her. Ask the Gemara in our case, yes, according to Behuda, the woman is getting killed, and because she's getting killed, we don't have to worry that she will be pursued. But why are we not concerned that chitem oslas gurai bechrenaisa, that they may come to pursue other women once he saw this woman, once they saw this woman without any clothing? Amar Rava explains, Rava Gemiri, we have a klal that ain't yetzahara shoylet el b'masha en avrois. The yetzahara is only going to get a person to do an avera and what he actually saw. And here the actual woman that he saw without clothing, as we understand, is being executed. So there's no concern that they're going to pursue this woman, so we don't have to be concerned about other women. Even though Tosfos points out that here our Gemara seems to say that we only have to be concerned about the Yetzahara with what a person actually sees, yet asks Tosfos that the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah that whoever just mentioned the name of Rochav Miyad Niskari would have bare thoughts, and here we don't seem to be concerned about that. Answers Tosfos that Gemara is referring to a situation of Yoida Umakira, that he knew, that he knows who she is, and because he knows who she is, there's a much higher level of concern than in our Gemara that the Kohanim, the people who see this woman executed are not actually necessarily aware of whom she is. It's a very nice pshat that I saw from the Cheshev Sofer. Our Gemara says that the concern is that he's going to, that ain't a Yetzahar Shoylet, that the Yetzahar is only a problem, but Mash ain't a Shoylet, and what a person sees. Asks the Cheshev Sofer, we say every day in our Krishma, three times a day, V'loy Sosura Achrei Levavchem, V'achrei Enechem. So we see that the primary concern is the Lev, the heart, not the eyes. So he explains as follows. Of course, as Al Gemara says, the concern is the eyes. However, explains the Cheshev Sofer, the Lev, the heart, has control over the eyes. And if a person protects his heart properly and trains his heart could train his eyes not to look and see at what he's not supposed to look at. Amarova, some comments Rava. Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, was there only a Kasha and understanding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbanon and Rabbanon like Kasha, was there no problem understanding the problem of the Rabbanon? In our Mishnah, the Rabbanon are concerned for hearer, and therefore they say a woman should be dressed during the stoning. And in the Mishnah and Saita, the Rabbanon are the man, the Amram, that say that we could take off all our clothing. Ela Marova, Rabbi Yehuda Loikasha, the way we've reconciled the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Kiddushanin, as we just explained, Rabbanon Loikasha, the way to reconcile the opinion of the Rabbanon, Amakra, V'nivasru Ka'anoshim, voices as Nukumaseichim. The Pasuk, as a Pasuk in Yecheskel, where Klal Yisrael is compared to a woman who has an adulterous relationship, and the Pasuk says that people who act this way, that are faithless towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will be punished, that they should serve as an example, that people shouldn't act that way. So the Torah goes out of its way to say that the woman should be degraded. And the way the Mefarshim I saw explained the Gemara is as follows. The Torah clearly indicates that a woman should be degraded during the procedure of a Saita. However, as we also know, Chazal have the right to override something that the Torah says, b'shev al taisa, by not doing something. So even though the Torah says that the woman should go through this procedure, Chazal have a right, b'shev al taisa, to say, because we're concerned about a hearer, they should go through this process. However, Rabbanan say the pasuk by using the words v'nivasru kol anoshim, saying that this is a case where the Torah specifically wants us to go through this process and we have no right to override it. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. V'chi teima hacha, wherever in the case of the woman who's getting killed, the fact that she's getting killed is enough of a humiliation and we don't have to unclothe her. And if you'll suggest, let's do both the taking off her clothing and a killing her. We have to make for him a easier death, and therefore just killing him is enough. We don't have to also degrade her by taking off her clothing. Point out the mefarshim that it seems from here that the din of a haftal reacha kamaicha applies even to Rishoyim, because we're talking here about a person that is getting killed. And in fact, that is indeed the opinion of some mefarshim, that al gemar is a raya, the haftal reacha kamaicha applies even to Rishoyim. However, there are other opinions that I saw that say that this person, as he's getting killed, this woman as she's getting killed, or the man as he's getting killed, that's the kapara, and they're no longer considered Rishon. Tosfos goes on to explain that our Gemara teaches us is brawler misa yafa. So Tosfos says from here we see that the din of a haftal racha kamaicha actually primarily applies at the moment of death. And Tosfos says two rayas to that concept. Firstly, he says that the pasuk says leisikon v'leisitor v'haftal racha kamaicha. So the Torah connects v'haftal racha kamaicha to sikon v'sitor, and leisikon v'leisitor takes place when the person is being killed. That is one pshat Tosfos says. The other pshat Tosfos says is that we know that while the person is alive, there certainly is no din of, there is no strong din of a haftal racha kamaicha. And Tosfos says a very nice raya, because we know the halacha is that if somebody is being taken to, if two people are walking and there's only one piece of bread and they're both starving, the person who owns the bread should eat the bread himself instead of giving it to his friend, because chayecha koidman. So we see that while the person is alive, actually the halacha is that we chayecha koidman. It's only at the moment of death do we say that the rule is v'haftal racha kamaicha. However, the mefarshim do go on to explain that even though v'haftal racha kamaicha, as Tosfos just explained, is primarily at the moment of death, it certainly continues during a person's life, also applies during the person's lifetime. However, the mefarshim do explain that now, based on Tosfos, we could understand the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara Masechet Shabbos defines v'haftal racha kamaicha, what you don't like, l'chavra chleisavet, don't do to someone else. So the question is, why does the pasuk mention it in, why does the Gemara speak in the negative? Madaloch sani, what you don't like, l'chavra chleisavet, don't do to your friend. The answer being, because our Gemara teaches us that is the entire source of how we learn the halacha of a haftal racha kamaicha, from what happens at the death, you shouldn't kill the person in a negative way. So I saw the mefarshim ask, if so, why do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had the challenge from Korach v'Adosai, said that the way they should be killed is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating an opening in the ground, and that all the Yodachayim Sha'ola, and they should all die that way while they're still alive. Isn't that a very gruesome death? And our Gemara just said, Brola Misa Yofa, that we shouldn't pick such a gruesome death for somebody who does an Aveira. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that Moshe Rabbeinu actually was picking for them a not a gruesome death, Because what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was that these people, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that these people were concerned if they won't die in such a fashion, perhaps will never do tshuva. And as much as the Gemara here teaches us, Barar loy misa yofa, they were supposed to try to pick a misa yofa for the person, certainly a very important part of the misa is that the person should die having done tshuva. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, let them die that death, which is seemingly a gruesome death, but at least that way they'll come to do tshuva. I saw a very interesting vart from the Pnei Menachem. We know that the Gemara says that a person that on Shabbos Gehenim is not in operation. And therefore, every Shabbos the Rishon go out of Gehenim until Shabbos is over. Says the Pnei Menachem, therefore a person should prolong Shabbos as much as possible, because by prolonging Shabbos as much as possible, what the person effectively is doing is keeping the people in Gehenim out of Gehenim. And our Gemara just taught us that Barar loy misa yofa, that we should be kind to a person when it comes to his death, including that would certainly include keeping people out of Gehenim. Says the Gemara, now that we have established what Rav Nachman said about Barar loy misa yofa, so ask the Gemara lema de Rav Nachman, perhaps what Rav Nachman said about Barar loy misa yofa, about Haftal Rach Kamaicha, is actually Tanoihi. The Machlokes Tanon. It's going to be the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. And therefore, the Rabbanan hold like Rav Nachman, and they say that the woman should remain with her clothing. And Rabbi Yehuda will disagree. And that's why he says that the woman's clothing are removed. Says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to understand. Because the Kulei Alma Isle Rav Nachman. Everybody could agree with Rav Nachman's opinion. V'hocha, what is the machloikas here? B'hokamilski. Ma'asava, the Rabbanan are of the opinion, b'zyoyne din inish adifalei menaycha de gufei. A person's concerned more about his being humiliated than being comfortable. And therefore, a woman is very uncomfortable being without clothing. And therefore, even though it may prolong her death, she prefers that her death be prolonged versus being humiliated. Masava versus Rabbi Yehuda holding Naicha de Gufa Adam and Bezyane. Even a woman is more interested in dying quickly without her death being prolonged. However, by a man, there is no machloikis. Everybody agrees that the man is more concerned about his, that he should die quickly versus the humility, being humiliated. And therefore, the halacha is that a man is stoned without wearing any clothing. Actually, our Gemara, I saw, as the basis of an interesting shaila. The Avodas HaGashuni was asked by a Chevra Kedisha who said that they had forgotten to put on tachrichim on two people who had passed away. One of the people who had passed away was a godel, an adult, and the other one was a katan. Was still a child. So the Avodas HaGashuni said as follows. The Gemara says that we should be careful not to exhume a nifter. And the reason we're not supposed to exhume a nifter is because cherdas hadin, because there's a concern that the person is going to be taken again for din v'cheshbin. Therefore, said the Avodas HaGashuni, an adult who is taken for din, we should not open up the kever. A katan, he died before he was of age to have been taken for a din v'cheshbin, we could open up the cherda. We could open up because he doesn't have to be concerned about cherda sadin. Again, the basis for the Avodas HaGashuni's psak is actually our Gemara, where we take into consideration what is or isn't a concern to a person. However, the Shvus Yankov says that he disagrees. He says that once a person leaves this world, so he recognizes that all of these issues of being humiliated with clothing, without clothing, certainly don't play that much of a role anymore. And therefore, once the person passes away, there's only concern of Cherdas Hadin, and nobody's kever should be opened up if they were unfortunately buried without any tachrichim. Says the Mishnah, Beis HaSkila HaYigavayish Teikoymus. The height of the Beis HaSkila was the height of two heights of a person. Most Rishonim are of the opinion it was either 6 or 7 amas high. Echme Edim Doichvay Al-Mosnam. And one of the Edim pushes this person off the Beis HaSkila on his hips. Napach Aliboy, if he falls on his chest as they push him off. Hoifchay Al-Mosnav. He turns him over. And the Rishonim explain why specifically do one of the Edim, the ones, as the Torah says, Yada Edim Tiba Rishona. Why are the Edim the ones that carry out the stoning? So some Rishonim explain, because certainly they are, the Rambam explains that they are the ones that are certain that this person did this Aveira, and therefore it's appropriate that they should be the ones to carry out his execution. Another pshat that I saw from the Ralbag is that we want that the Edim should be 100% certain about the testimony that they're saying. And the way they could be 100% certain about their testimony is if the way we can, one of the ways to make sure that they're certain about their testimony is by us making sure that they are the ones that are going to carry out the execution. Another pshat is that the reason someone who does an Aveira is executed is because the Torah says, Uvi arta hara mikabecha. So the closer the person is that he actually saw the Aveira committed, he has the chiv of Uvi arta hara mikabecha. The mespa, if the person died by being thrown off the Beis HaSkila Yotza, Miri says, Tup shot him in Yotza. One pshat is that Bezdin has fulfilled the way that they're supposed to kill the person. Another pshat is that, as we've learned, the Misa, the execution, brings a kapora to this person, and this way he has his kapora. Ask the Aruch Lener, if the Torah says Yada Eidim, the Mishnah quotes this pasuk in a moment, if the Torah says Yada Eidim Tiyaba Barishayna, that it's the Eidim who are supposed to carry out the execution, so why only one aid pushes him off? Why shouldn't both aidim push him off? So as an introduction to the next words of the Mishnah, explains the Aruch Lener. The Aruch Lener says that if two people push him off, we need to be concerned that really one did more than the other, which is very common when two people are doing something together. And then one person will have done more of the pushing, but we won't know it was that person who did more of the pushing. And we need to be concerned that it's the same person that's going to be doing the other act of stoning. So it's going to turn out that everything was really done only by one individual. To avoid such a issue, we have one person doing the pushing and another person doing the stoning. And that's actually what the Mishnah says. Mimlav, if the person didn't die when he was pushed off, Hasheni Noitolus and Nevin takes a stone, Vinoist on Levi and puts on his heart. In Mespa, if he dies that way, Yotza, it's fine. Mimlav, Rigimasoi Bechol Yisrael, if not, everybody else should stone him. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yada Edim Tiba Berishoina Lamisa, Vyad Kolaam Bachroina. Ask the Gemara, Tana, it says in the Braisa, the Kaimishloi, if we add to the height of where he's thrown off his own height, we have the height of Sholish, the three times a person's height is the height of the Beis HaSkila. Ask the Gemara, or me being in Kulahai, why does the Beis HaSkila have to be that tall? For a minute, we learned in the Mishnah, Masechta Basra, Ma Bar Shukadei Lahem Masasar Tfachim, that a bar that's 10 Tfachim deep is enough for an animal who falls in to die. So why here do we make it so tall? And as the Mefarshim explain, that even though the taller it is, the more likely he is to die quickly, still, we also shouldn't have to make it so gruesome. And if the Mishnah says that in Baba Kama, that 10 Tfachim is enough for an animal to die, why do we make it so tall? Furthermore, explains the Pnei Yeshua, that even though the Gemara Masechta Chulin explains that when is that depth enough to kill a person or an animal? Only when they're not aware that they've been falling into such a deep place. But if they're aware that they're falling into such a deep place, then the halacha is that even that isn't deep enough to die. And here the person knows that he's being thrown off the base of Skila. Says the Pnei Yeshua, the reason why, if somebody is aware that he's being thrown into such a place, it's not deep enough, is because he could grab onto something. But if there's nothing to grab onto, even if it's that, then that depth is enough to kill. And therefore, ask the Gemara, shouldn't this, why do we have to have it so tall? Answers the Gemara, as we just learned before. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Kra, v'hafta l'reyacha kamaycha, brora misa yofa. Make a misa yofa, and therefore if it's taller, he's going to die quicker. Ask the Gemara, hachalik b'tfeis, make it even taller. Says the Gemara, that's already too tall, there's a concept of nivel hames. Echman Edom Dachvoy, one of the Edom should be the one to push him off. How do we know the part of the skila process is pushing off the person from the base of skila? The pasuk says, "By Har Sinai, when Moshe Rabbeinu warns Klal Yisrael that nobody should approach the mountain, loisiga bayad ki sakel yisakel a yairu yairim hemem ish layichya." So the pasuk says yaira refers to being thrown off. Asking Mamnayin Shabaskila, how do we know that Skila is also done? Tamalaima Sokal. Umnayin Shabaskila Ubidhi, that both are done. Tamalaima Sokal Yisokal, a Yaira Yaira. The Torah says that both should be done. Sokal Yisokal, the Torah, but by repeating both words, teaches us that both should be done. Ask the Rishonim. But if we're following the wording of the pasuk, it seems that skila should be done first, because the pasuk says sokel yisokel or yairo yairo. So first skila, and then being thrown off. So Tosfos answers, because the pasuk says uskaltem bavonim v'mesu, that skila is closer to the death, and therefore it makes more sense. The first is dechi and then skila. Other rishonim explain that if first they stone the person, and he was completely, and then obviously he's going to be in bad shape, it would be very embarrassing and very not appropriate to take a person in that way and schlep him up to the top of the base of Skila and throw him down. Whereas if we do the throwing down first, he walks up on his own 2 feet and we throw him down, it's much less gruesome that we've learned before as the proper way. How do we know that if when we threw him off he died, that is good enough? Says the Gemara, the Torah, by using the word is teaching us that either one alone is considered having fulfilled what the Torah requires. As Tosfos explains, even though one of the precepts that we work with always is that any mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is for ever, given that the Maimon Har Sinai was a one-time event, perhaps we can't learn from Maimon Har Sinai to all other situations. How do we know that this applies for all future generations? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says sokel yisokel, that in future generations it should also be yisokel. This is the way it should be done. Vimlav, continue. We learned in the Mishnah, ha'ed asheni noitel se'evin. The second A picks up the stone and stones him. Ask the Gemara, noitel, does he pick it up himself? Vatanya asked the Gemara, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Evan Hoysisham, the stone that was there was Masui Shnei B'nei Adam. It was the weight, it was so big that it needed 2 people to carry it. And the Rambam explains, because again, we wanted him to die quickly, so we purposely had a very heavy stone which would cause his death to come quickly. Noitloi, they took the stone, the nice Nayaliba, they would put it on the chest of the person who's getting killed. Emes by Yotza. So here we see that both of them pick it up. Ask the Gemara Tameich. Tikshlach Hagufa. Let's try to understand that Braisa. First, the Braisa says, Masa Shnei B'nei Adam, that it took two people to carry that stone. And then the Braisa says, Noit Levinas Na Liboy, that only one person carried it, through it. What happened? Says the Gemara, El the Midlay Behadi Chaverid, it's picked up, by two people. But when it comes to actually throwing it on the individual, shadalei ihu, one person himself throws it down. Kihech de teisim razia, if one person throws it, he'll be able to concentrate to throw it stronger and kill the person quicker. Vimlav, if that didn't work, rigamasai, everybody participates in killing the person, stoning him. Ask the Gemara of Tanya, then we learn in a Braisa, Ma'olam lo yishanah ba'adam, there was never need for the stoning to be repeated. Answers the Gemara, Mikamina, that our Mishnah said the Ovid, that it ever happened. All our Mishnah is teaching us is the Matzrich, if the person didn't die after being thrown off the base of Skila and being stoned by the Edim, then everybody else participates. Amama, Evan Hoysa. There was an Evan prepared there. Vatanya, the Mishnah, it seems that from the Braisa, there was one specific stone that was always used for stoning. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Echas Evan Sheniskaba, whether it's the stone that the person was stoned with, Vachas Eich Shnitlalov, whether it's the tree that he was hung on, Vachat Saiv Shnerba, whether it was the sword that was used for taking off his head, Vachat Sud Shnechnaba, that was used for strangling, Kulam Nikbar Nimai. So how can we say that the stone, same stone was always used? Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha Dik Misakni or Maisach Rina Chlofayu. They brought another stone. Ask the Gemara, Nikbar Nimai. Here it says that all these items were buried with him. Vatanya Enik Barani Mai, they weren't buried with him. Amra Papa Mai Imai, it doesn't mean directly with him. Imai Betfisosoi, it should be buried in the four Amis of the Nifter, but not actually in his grave. Machloikis Rishonim, why was this thing buried with him? The Ramban is of the opinion that this is the same as the Halacha, that anything that, if a mess, Rahman Slan is Nifter, and blood comes out of his body, so everything that's with the mess should be buried along with him. Here too, the different items that Rahman Son were used to kill him are in that category and are buried with him. The Rambam is of the opinion that we don't want that item that was used to kill the person should always remain, that people will always say that this is the tree on which that person was hung, and this is the stone with which that person was killed. And in order to avoid that, we have it buried. I actually saw a very interesting shot that this is the makar, this is the source for the minig, that we know that the various items that are used for bedikas chametz, the spoon and the candle, are burnt along with the chametz. Because again, the chametz representing the ra in the world, and the burning of the chametz represent, and the bedikas chametz all represent the eradication of bad from the world, and the eradication of bad from the world should be done like the eradication of a rasha, with all of the items that were used to kill him burnt or buried with him. Amishmul, nikta yada edim, if the hand of the edim were Rahman Slan cut off, then the halacha is potter, he's potter from skil. Machloikis Rishonim, when were the Edom's hands cut off? Some say if the Edom's hands were cut off between their witnessing the act, the aveir that the person did, and their coming to Bezdin. Other Rishonim learned that if the hands of the Edom Rachman Olam were cut off between the psak of Bezdin and the actual execution. Furthermore, says the Miri, not to understand, says the Miri, our Gemara, that if this happened, that the Edom's hands were cut off, then this person who did the Savera goes free. Rather, explains the Meiri, the way we need to understand the Gemara is that if the Edom's hands were cut off, we discussed this previously once, the person who did the Avera was put into a cell without any food where he was left to die. Also, interesting, Shaila in the Achroinim. Our Mishnah our Gemara discusses a situation where the hand of the Edom were removed. What would happen? What would be the din if the hand of only one of the Edom was removed? Will be like our Gemara explains, Shmuel telling us that you have to be able to fulfill what the pasuk says, Yad Edom, and here you don't have the Yad Edom or not. My Tama, explains Shmuel, as we just said, to be inin, Yad Edom Tir by Birushana, we need to have that the Edom have hands for Lekka. Elameato asked the Gemara if we're going to say that the Edom have to have hands. Edom Gidman, what will be the halacha with Edom who are missing hands from the first place? The Mikara, Hachanam de Psilu, will such Edom be possible from saying testimony? Answered the Gemara, Shani Hassam, Damakura, Yada Edom, Shoy Sukfar. That they had hands, and they still have to have the hands at the time of execution. Whereas those Edom who never had hands are in a different category, they're still kosher to be Edom. Use the Paiskim, this Gemara, to discuss. Wabi the Shailaf Rahman Tzlon, a person is missing a hand regarding tefillin. And it seems that the opinion of the Paiskim is that if he has some stump of a hand left, that's where he should put the tefillin. But as far as the brach is concerned, we Ashkenazim who are of the minig, that we make a laniyat tefillin on the shayad, and on the Rosh we make an Amitzvah tefillin, but we say Baruch Shein Kvay Machusulayim L'Void, such a person should only make one bracha of Lanir tefillin before he puts on the tefillin Shal Yad, and not make another bracha. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah, Kom Bakim She'idu Shnayim V'yoyim, if two Edom come and say, Me'idim Anu B'ish Ploini, that we could say testimony. Shenigmar Din of a Beis Din Ploini, that he was convicted by this in this court. Or Ploini, Ploini Edov, and these were his Edom that brought along the conviction. I raise your Horeg. Now it seems that we're referring to a different court, not with the original Edom. And yet we see that the person is killed, even though the original Edom are not there. I, Shmuel, holds, Yad HaEdom Tir by Barishayna, we have to fulfill the pasuk, as the Torah says, and the Torah says we have to use actually those Edom, and only those Edom who saw the Avera. Answers the Gemara, Tigma Shmuel, the way, explains Shmuel that the way to understand that Mishnah is Behein Hein Edov. We have to actually use those very, that it was those very Edom who testified that this person did the Avera, who are now coming to Bezdin and say what happened. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that all they need to say is that this person was convicted and is to be executed, and we don't have to go through the whole Din Torah again. So Shmuel is of the opinion that when the Torah says Yada Edom Tir by Birushayna, we have to follow actually what the Torah says. Or maybe in a krokodiksiv. Last thing, do we follow exactly what the Torah, exactly as the Torah says? V'tanya mois yumas ha-makarit seyachu. Enli el b'misa ha-ksuvaba. We would only know we should execute him with the misa the Torah prescribes. Menayim shimi yata yochala misa b'misa ha-ksuvaba. That we can't execute him with that misa. So we see that we don't have to follow the exact wording of the Torah. Then there's two machlokes in an understanding of this Gemara. One opinion is that this is a din only by Ritzeach. Another opinion is that it's by anybody who's Mechuy Mises Bezdin. And another question is, when we can't fulfill the Misa the Torah prescribes, what does that mean? That we can't fulfill the specific Misa, we give another one of the Arba Mises Bezdin? Or does it mean that we don't have to give a Mises Bezdin at all, we could give a different form of Misa? Shani Hassam. We see that we don't actually have to fulfill it exactly as the Torah says. Shani Hassam, Damakran Mois Yumas. Ask the Gemara Veligma Minei. Why don't we learn from there to everywhere else that we don't actually have to follow it exactly as the Torah says? Answers the Gemara. We have two psukim that teach us the same din, and we have a rule throughout Shas that calls Shnei Suma Bom Kecha in Melandim. If the Torah went out of its way to say something twice, it means that here it's the halacha that way, nowhere else. Otherwise, why did the Torah have to say it twice? And even according to the opinions that say Shnei Suma in Melandim, you need to have three. The Rishonim point out that there's a third case, the Ir Anidachas. Ritzeach HaDamoran, where the Torah says we don't have to kill him with the prescribed method. Goel HaDam Mayhi, the Tanya. Goel HaDam, Yom HaSir Ritzeach. Mitzvah B'Goel HaDam, the mitzvah for Goel HaDam to avenge the death. If he doesn't have such a relative, Bezdin appoints such an individual. We appoint someone, even though, so we see from here that even though we can't fulfill it exactly, we still have to fulfill what the Torah says. The interesting shayla is shayla tshuva tzemach tzedek. If the din of goyel hadam applies nowadays when we don't have Mises Bezdin, the question would come up that let's say someone's relative was murdered and no one, the police, the authorities are not really actively pursuing finding the murderer. Do the family have to use their funds to hire an investigator to find the murderer? Amalei, the Tzemach Tzedek says that they are. Other places can disagree. Amalei makshish b'reid of Chizal Ravashi. Omilei b'rinin k'rakid k'siv. He wants to bring a right to Shmuel's position that we always have to follow the Torah, the pasuk as the Torah says, but it's not. Hay echemem gideim, if one of the parents of a ben Sarah Meir was missing a hand. Ay ilaim, he's mute. Ay chiger, he's lame. Ay suma, he's blind. Ay cherish, he's deaf. Ain anasa ben Sarah Meir. Shnema, v'sisabai, v'lai gidman, somebody missing a hand. V'ay tziyaysa, v'lai chigrin, somebody who's lame. V'am v'lai ilman, b'nein azu v'lai silman. Ainain ashmeh, v'kalainu v'lai chershin. The Farshim ask, if they're deaf, of course they can't have a situation like this, because they can't tell if he did, if he's not listening to them. So Kesa Mishnah answers that the parents could tell that he's not listening to what they say, even if they don't actually hear what he's saying. My Tama, what is the reason? Lama should be in the Krodik Siv. Isn't this a clear indication that we have to follow the exact wording of the Torah? Says the Maraloi, Shani Hassam, there it's different, because Kulis Kroyaserahu, that entire person is superfluous to teach us these dinim. Toshma, regarding Ir Nidachas. If there is no public square, ain nasis ir nidachas. Then it can't be ir nidachas, because part of the procedure is that we have to go to rechayv ha'ir. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Kivav ain lo rechayv, oisun lo rechayv. We have to build a public square. Comments the Gemara. At kan le pligi, the time machalik between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is whether the mass of a rechayv the mikarbinin, that we have to, whether we had to have a rechoy beforehand, or masava rechava hashta namikara. If we build one now, it's good enough. Avod the kula alma, but everybody agrees, krokid accept that if the Torah says we need vaytzei rechoy ve'ir, we have to have a rechoy. Says the Gemara, actually Shmuel's concept of being a krokid accept is a machloikas tanon, the tanan. Ein leboin yad boin regal oizin yamonis, where this is part of the procedure of the purification of mitzayra. The Tanakhama says that we can't do what the Torah says, then we don't, then this mitzvah can never be purified. Here too, the Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha if he never had this ear of toe? Will it be the same like by Al Gemara that such a mitzvah, most Rishonim say, will be able to have a Torah, just like if the Edom never had hands, they're still kosher Edom. There are, however, other Rishonim that suggest that the din of Mitzayra is different, the Rambam's opinion, and if, according to the Tanakhama, if he's missing these things, ain't like Tahara. Rabbi Lezor Menoistal Mekayim V'yotze, put it on the right place, even though it's missing the ear or the toe. Shimon Menoistal Smoloi V'yotze, as Mepharshim explained, the machlokes between Rabbi Lezor and Rabbi Shimon is what is better, the right is better, or the toe and the ear are more important. Says the Mishnah, call on the skolim nitlam divrei Rabbi Lezor. All people who were stoned were also hung, says Rabbi Lezer. Only those people of Mechuyiv Skila are also stoned. Hish Tayin Laisai, when a man is hung, he's hung pun of Klapi Am, with his face facing the people. V'isha Pana Klapi, it's a face where we learned at the beginning of this year, we have to be more concerned about a bezoyin, she's facing the tree. Divrei Rabbi Lezer. V'cham aymrim hish nitla v'en ish nitlas. Only men, not women. Amar Rabbi Lezer v'lashim ben shatach tal noshim be'ashkelon. Rashi at the end of the previous year spoke about the story where Shimon ben Shatach killed all those machshefis in Ashkelon. Amalai. So they replied to him, we can't bring a raya from Shimon ben Shatach, because he hung shmayim noshim tala, he hung 80 women. V'en donu shnayim b'yayim echad. So Shimon ben Shatach's situation was an extraordinary situation from which we cannot learn. Tanur Rabbanan. V'humas v'salisa. Yochel Kolam Mumsen Nitlin, that anybody who's executed should be hung. Tamalayim Kekilas Alakim Tolin, which teaches us Ma Mekal Zeh Shebeskila, only somebody who's Mechuyiv Skila is hung. Af Kol Shebeskila, only somebody who had Skila is hung. Divrei Rebbe Elazar. The Chacham say, no, we take the Raya from Mekalu a step further. Ma Mekalu is a situation of Kafa Be'ikr. Only someone who was executed because he was a Kafa Be'ikr, Af Kosha Be'Kafa Be'ikr, is hung, no one else. Ask the Gemara, B'maikumifki, what is the basis of the Machlaikis? Answers the Gemara, Rabbanan Darshi Kloli Aparatim, Rabbi Elazar Darshi Ribi Amiti, which we know from the Shloish Eser Midrash Shatayr in the Dreshes Behen, there are two ways of learning. We can learn with a klal uprat, or we can learn with a ribui miut ribui. A klal uprat is a much more extensive, is much more limited than ribui miut ribui. And the Gemara explains, Rabbanan Darshi klal uprati, for whom is for Salisa klal, kikilas prat. Now, if these two psukim were right next to each other, we would say ein b'chlal amal shem prat, and we said hani in midachrin aloy, only somebody who rachman slan curses Hashem. Hashtem merachke adadi. But now that these two psukim are not next to each other, a hani l'ribuye, we do make it a little more broad, and we include avodat kechavim, somebody who worshipped avodah zara, to domalei b'kamili, he is similar to somebody who curses God, he's a kafir v'ikr. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, darish ribi miyut ribi. He always learns the Torah ribi miyut, which is a much broader way of learning. And therefore, humus v'salis is a ribi. Kikilos miyut, you have a mekavil avodadi, and therefore, if the ribi miyut would be next to each other, lo yavim rabinan, we would have only included not only someone who curses God, but somebody who worships Avodah Zarah, Avodah Chacham also. Because, as we just explained, an Oyvid Avodah Zarah, Domalei B'Kamili, is similar to somebody who curses God. Hashtem Rachakim Adadi, but now that it's a Ribi Miyat, the Ribui, that's not near each other, we even explain it even more broadly, and we say, L'Riboy Yishai Neskolim, according to Blaza, anybody who's killed with Skila, the Halach is that he's hung. Again, just to review quickly, ribi miyut ribui is a broader way of darshaning, and when we have two psukim, the psukim of ribi miyut ribui and the psukim of klal prat are very similar in their structure, and the machloek says, what is the more likely, more preferable way of learning? Rabbi Elazar prefers to learn with a ribi miyut ribui, and the Rabbanan prefer to learn with klal prat to klal.